Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello, this is Jackie Cation, and welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. The Dork Forest is found at DorkForest.com, but also part of the All Things Comedy Network, podcasting network. And there are a million podcasts over there, really fun podcasts that you can go and listen to. And they're all very fun. Aaron Foley's over there, Bill Burr, Al Madrigal. I should probably look at that list so that I don't just mention those three every time. And because there's a bunch of them that are great. And you would really like that. So the other thing about All Things Comedy is they have a download of my new special, my new hour-long special. It's at allthingsrecords.com/Jackie Cation. And it's This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. It's a $5 download from PayPal or Amazon. Very glamorous. If you want that, if you can get it, you can get a hard copy on my website. On the merch page, the credits, Mike Rickberg composed and sang the Dork Forest theme song. He, with his girlfriend, Sarah Cohen, he will sing the Mexican hat dance at the end of the show. Patrick Brady will fix this audio. Thank you, baby Jesus. And he also does the teasers on the YouTube page, youtube.com/thedorkforest. You can hear little clips and pictures of people that are on the show and their dorkdoms. There's a whole list of them. There's probably 50 of them by now. And Vilmos fixes my website, JackieCation.com. So if you need a website, go there and find Vilmos, and he will do your website for you. The Amazon banner is on JackieCation.com, and what you do is you order from Amazon by clicking through JackieCation.com Amazon banner, and then I get a kickback, and I appreciate everyone who's been doing that because it seems to be working. You can also just donate to the show. If you like the show and you want to donate, give me, I don't know, $10 a month, or $8.33 a month, and which is $100 a year. I was hoping to get $100 a year from everybody. You can just give me $100. And what's that? It's super fan. What you get for that is probably a bookmark, maybe a magnet until I run out of them, and a little thank you card. And or you can buy a t-shirt. You could just buy a t-shirt, and I will send you a Dork Forest t-shirt, a Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirt. There are three different kinds of t-shirts, two designs, and they are on the merch page on the store on JackieCation.com, and they are American made, union made in most cases. I'm phasing out the just American made, because while I'm willing to wear clothing made by toddlers, I am unwilling to sell clothing made by toddlers. So they're union made, American made t-shirts that I will send to you. And so they run big. Just know that. Know that in your heart. They are Bayside, and they run a little big because they're made by Americans, who also run a little big. But all the shirts are there, the CDs are there, and my new DVD is there. So you can order any of that. There is upcoming, of course, my stand-up comedy. You can see me in Los Angeles. I think I'm doing Uncab and a couple other shows this week, the West Side Theater. And then I'm going to Chicago. That'll be super fun. Then I'm back in Los Angeles, and then I'm doing a weird thing with, I think it's a private, I'm uncertain, for Judy Carter, who wrote the Comedy Bible in Great Falls, Montana. That's happening in a couple of months. Anyway, go to JackieCation.com. We'll look at the schedule if you want to see where I'm doing stand-up. And now, an ad from my sister, Darla Cashian. Cashian, however she pronounces it. She is a socially responsible financial advisor for RBC Dane Rauscher, and she's good at it. She's smarter than I am. And in this, she sounds much more serious, which is good to have in a financial advisor, but she's much more serious than she is. But let's listen to that ad, and then let's listen to the show. Thank you very much.
At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am in my living room, Rangers of the Dork Forest, with the lovely and talented Kate Flannery. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Lovely is a very strong word, but thank you.
Let's do it, though.
All right.
Because do you feel charactery? Do you feel
always,
less lovely?
Always, but I just came back from a South Jersey, seeing my dad in Ocean City, New Jersey. Sorry to drop the glamorous resort palace, but I feel like I ate so much fried food and I'm just not quite myself.
Right, right. Well, it'll weed off. Now you're back in Los Angeles where true. It's on the wind.
Get a salad. No, you don't like fries.
Oh. Or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of myths that are on the air.
So true.
They're just like, you want to go exercise? Nope. It's taken me 15 years to kill all of those voices inside of me. It worked out quite nicely. I've been actually trying to hear them recently because I think it's actually a little healthier.
Sure. There's hypnotherapy for that, right?
Right. Something. So, but no offense to North Jersey, except to offend North Jersey, you got to be like a 9. Or a 10 in
hot
in
Cleveland.
Hot
yes,
in Cleveland.
Yes, absolutely. Freaking all right.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Are
occasionally
you kidding?
I find myself saying that, which is really insulting to them.
Yeah, I do it like Wisconsin,
hot,
too.
Yeah, I'm always like, yeah, yeah. I'm fantastic. I'm gorgeous in
See,
South Jersey. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, South Jersey, did they retire to Ocean City?
No. Ocean City is...
is it the resort?
Ocean City, New Jersey is 8 miles south of Atlantic City. And literally, this is the house that my dad's parents had it. It has no heat. So
right.
It's because it's just a summer house.
It's just a summer
just
house.
Just a summer house. There's a shower on the back porch. There's a bunch of twin beds. It's a half a block
it's
of the beach.
It's a place.
But it's great, you know.
When you're
it's
a
fantastic.
Kid,
yeah.
And you're stacked like cordwood, it's amazing.
And we keep getting offers to have it torn down and throw money at us, but it's not happening.
You're like, no, we have, now we
We're
are used to
this.
This.
Yes.
Yes,
this
we will take our Irish ancestry and we will continue to come here every summer.
It's true.
And you guys all split it, kind of? You and your sis?
Well, I feel like we don't really split it. No, it's sort of like either you kind of put up with whoever's there.
Oh,
you don't get your.
That's kind of all right. Well, yeah. No. It's not like working in a restaurant where you have shifts or anything. It's
no, that might be saner. It's sort of like
eventually it might be nice, but as of now, no. Everybody just puppies. It's all good. It's all good. So Kate Flannery, it is Kate at Kate Flannery on Twitter.
It is.
And your website, of course, is here it is, thelampshades.com. And
it's just thelampshades.com. There's not, the word plural is not it.
No.
Super
See, it's going to be like that, Rangers. It's going to be a lot
I'm
of words.
Wise guy. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Kate Flannery, wordsmith. And stand up comedy forever, like myself. But also acting and
well, I feel like the Lampshades is not exactly. I
is
feel
it
like
sketch?
we have our feet in the stand up world, but we don't live there. We play a lot of comedy festivals. We do regular, but it's not really sketch. We're just characters, but we're doing our act in real time, dealing with the audience in real time.
Okay.
So you know what I mean.
Essentially, you are a character. You go on stage and you say things in that character for your allotted amount of time.
Yes, and there are musical mashups mostly from the 70s and 80s that get made oversung. And there's like a relationship thing that sort of comes. Yeah, I mean, it's very. My partner has a drink and a cigarette at all times. It's very.
Is it loosey goosey?
It's sometimes. Although sometimes we stick to a very strict regimen of get on and get off, and then it's not sexual.
Is it scripty?
It depends. It depends, like on the audience, you know, because we played for 500 Filipino nurses once, and I was like, I didn't realize till after we started that they spoke no English.
Tagalog.
Yeah,
that's
not
okay. How it's pronounced.
And then it just gets bigger. It just gets right.
Yeah, that's. I have no idea how to pronounce the. The Filipino.
You're right.
It's not Tagalog. Tagalog seems rude. And, well, somebody email me. It'll be great. Jackie at JackieCation.com. Knock yourselves out. Anyway, so, but I was like, what is your dorkdom? And you're like, so many things. And I said, that's my least favorite answer because we got to pick some things. And
right.
We did. And the first thing I want to talk about is you're like, you're fascinated with pre-Hays Code movies.
Yes, I am. And
tell people what the Hays Code was.
Well, the Hays Code is this weird moral thing that they put on all the movies in the early 30s. They said because people were you know actually telling real stories of immorality and
it was
character.
A free for all.
It was.
It was like a Babylonian freaking free for all.
It wasn't. There was a lot of toplessness in the 20s in particular. Not so much in the early 30s, but you know, because once people started to talk, they were uncomfortable.
No. Right. And it was just like, I'm going to talk in here. These are my boobs. That is too much. That is a lot.
But you know, because I love actresses like Barbara Stanwyck. It doesn't matter what movie she was in or where she was supposed to be from.
Better.
She always sounds like she's from Brooklyn. No, it's okay. But she was lovely, you know, and like, so there's some really dark, there's a movie called The Redhead with Jean Harlow. It's just like, there's so many, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think of the one. Is it Baby? Oh my gosh, I'm.
Well, just describe it, and then someone will shout at their iPod.
It's a waitress who, at her father's bar, and she gets out, and she becomes basically a prostitute, and then she starts working in the workforce, and she blackmails her boss into paying for her lovely lavish apartment. She sort of works it, and mm-hmm. some customer at her father's bar told her to work it. She's like, "This is what you do to get out of here.
This is it.
It's coal mining town."
Oh,
you know?
My God.
And she actually sort of ends up winning through that. It's like, that's the thing. I mean, there are other movies like that in the later 30s, but they usually die or have something awful happen
right,
to the
characters.
Right,
because the Hays Code itself, there were certain rules, right?
Yeah. Like the bad guy could not win.
Right. And the only one where the bad guy won or who lived? Mr. Potter.
Oh.
Mr. Potter ends up being just fine. He gets the $7,000.
That's true.
He's
a douche.
Right. He was a douche that never he never paid for his crimes.
This is true.
He was a bad guy.
Unless it was a sequel that was made that never got released.
The Secret Capra sequel. That was even less popular than It's a Wonderful Life when it came out. Because remember, that one was
right,
a box.
It was a bust. It was a bomb.
It didn't go. And then, of course, it went into public domain, and we all saw it a gajillion times when we were children.
If you were alive in that late 80s and aware, you were, I mean, you knew every word.
Every line.
It was on a million, on 1,500 channels. Bizarre.
Right. It was almost like The Christmas Story, but where they would play 24 hours of it, except for that it was on five different channels.
So weird.
You couldn't sink it. You were just like, no, I want to see that thing with him on the bridge again. And then you just flip over and there it was.
Right.
But yeah, crazy. So there were several rules. Like you couldn't have sex unless you were married.
Right.
That was a Hays Code thing.
Right.
And you couldn't.
Foot on the bed. If your foot had to be on the ground if you were on a bed. If you were with a woman and your one foot had to be on the ground.
If there was a bed in the scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
One foot had to be on the.
Yeah. You could not be in bed with a woman.
In frame?
Yes, your foot had to be obviously on the ground.
Because what was that Clark Gable?
That wasn't the same bed. You mean? Are you thinking?
They were twin
night.
Beds. It happened
they were
one
twin
night.
Beds.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
They had
that
crazy
beds.
Rope with the powerful
curtain.
Blanket. Yes,
that blanket. It was the walls of Jericho.
That's
I
right.
Believe
the walls of Jericho.
It.
That's what they called it.
Yeah, get out there, folks. See yourself. It happened one night.
That's a great movie. That's actually one of my favorites.
It's a really good movie.
It is. It really holds up. I made my boyfriend watch it because he did not really know any movies before in 1980 when I first
right.
met him.
Oh, is it black and white? My sister used to say. I can't. And I was like, we watched all of the Marx Brothers movies when we were kids and you loved them. And she's like, yeah, I'm not a kid anymore. And I was like, get on it. And
wow.
I became very bossy. Bossy Magoo. And she's Bossy Magoo is actually her Twitter handle.
Oh, that's
and,
hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So, 'cause she is the boss of me. So it was one foot on the ground.
Yeah.
If it was a double bed.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had to be married. And remember, who made the movies with, this is going to be a great episode, you guys. You guys just
there's
shouting.
No editing.
There's no editing. Okay. There could be, but joy of podcasting is when you say something inappropriate. You're like, did I just say the word Negro? I guess that's going out. And you're like, not cool, Cation. And but the weird – okay, so there was a Billy Wilder.
Yes.
Billy Wilder.
I used to wait on Billy Wilder at Kate Manolini restaurant in his – you know, I mean like 15 years ago. Crazy. Right before he died. I swear.
So
crazy.
You used to wait tables here when you first moved to Los Angeles.
Actually, yes. And went through the first season of The Office. I kept my restaurant job because we only had 5 episodes after the pilot. So I was like, well, that's no guarantee.
Oh, that's
hilarious. So I covered my shifts during the weekend. I still work my Sunday brunch.
Uh-huh. That what restaurant was it for people who like to tour?
It's just left. It's they just closed.
Oh, did they?
In June. It was called Kate Manolini on Wilshire and Doheny.
Do you ever worry? Think to yourself, well, what if I lose my? How will I get another?
Oh, honestly, I was picking up shifts as fast as I could. No. It was
like,
weird.
If I needed to,
it was a little bit of a like I'm letting go of the parachute.
Yeah. Oh, I know. When I quit my last day job was in 2003, and I said I'm going to do the road like a comic. And all my friends had quit their day jobs years before.
Wow.
And I was like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And and what was interesting is because my day job was at this closed captioning company and I was office work, right? I didn't caption because those people are actually irreplaceable. Anyway,
interesting.
Me just logging things in. I'm a monkey. So monkeys replaceable. And so you can just get a temp. So, but the thing is my boss was so nice about it. She said, when I said, you know, I have to quit. I got the half hour special on Comedy Central 2003. And long time. That money's long gone. So there wasn't that much
forever,
of it.
It lives on forever.
And, right. It does.
It will always exist.
It will always exist. And they will always get residuals and I will not.
Oh, jeez.
In other
I
news.
I love show business.
Show business. It's a business.
It is.
But my boss said, are we not being flexible enough? And I said, because she would let me go on 2 6-week runs a year and they'd get a temp. And I kept my insurance.
That's great.
It was amazing. And I said, Deborah, the only way you could be more flexible is if you just continued to pay me. And then I stopped in occasionally. I was like, let's not do this. And I was like, we have to believe in that the career's going to go okay. And here I am.
You're still floating. Years. Still afloat.
Still. Well,
on my last day at Kate Mantalini restaurant, my boss said, we were going to get you a cake, but you'll be back.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
Fantastic.
So supportive.
So fantastic.
Are you sure he isn't related?
But see, I respond better to negative reinforcement because I have that I'll show you a little bit.
Yeah.
Not the crazy kind.
Not crazy, like, but you're just like.
I mean, I didn't go to an Ivy League school, so obviously I don't have it that much, but.
Right. But there's a gauntlet. There's a gauntlet that you're willing to go, well, don't be ridiculous. I can do this. I remember when somebody told me, they were like, 10,000 people live in Los Angeles and they're going to, and I was like, yeah, but I'm not going to do it poorly. What do you think's going to,
wow.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I may not be, you know, I'll be whatever whatever success I
right,
get,
but
I get.
You didn't get on the bus with a head injury. I think you had some brains for God's sake. Right.
It's all going to work out and I will never be a burden on society. I'm going to go you got to run it up the flagpole, right?
Absolutely.
Who cares if it doesn't fly?
Well, you know, and it is
you've
what
given
it
a shot.
That's right. And everybody and if you really think about it, there is enough for everybody, whatever that means.
Right.
It's just that you're not going to get the same, but nobody gets the same as anybody
nobody
else.
Nobody gets it. Nobody. My favorite story. Fred Armisen, when he got to SNL, I was telling him, oh, I'm going to Vegas to do stand-up. And he goes, oh, I so wish I could do Vegas. And I said, didn't you just get a gig on Saturday Night Live? And he was like, yeah, but I never get to do the road.
Grass is always greener. That's hilarious.
So funny. I was like, first of all, Vegas is gross.
Yeah.
Second of all, you could do the road. I said, you could do the road to him. And he goes, oh, no. Oh, no, I could not. No one would sit through my costume changes, Jackie. And I was like, fair enough. And it was. And he said the greatest thing. He said, you know, you're right, though. Well, you get what you get. You know, you get what you get. And I get to do that. And it's an amazing thing I get to do.
Right.
And you get to do that. And that's an amazing thing.
So I actually played the Lampshades played the tent in front of Caesars once during that comedy festival.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And some of the Aspen people. Literally, it was like it became part of the act. It's like. Because
in front of Caesars.
The tent in front. It's like, we actually thought we were playing Caesars and we got there and we're like, oh, actually it's the tent in front of Caesars.
I'm on the boardwalk.
And actually, you're not staying at Caesars. We're putting you up at the Sahara. Just take that monorail. It's nice and cheap.
Yeah, super. You're like,
a costumed act. Great. I love show business. It's fantastic.
Isn't it the greatest?
But also I feel like I created an act with Scott Robinson and we've actually become the thing we're making fun of because the characters were older than us when we first started. This is why I respond to older images. Well, also I think because I have old parents too. My parents are older.
Well, that's because you're the youngest of seven.
Yes.
So like your oldest sibling has got to be at least 10 years older
than
you.
Right. She's 14 years older than me.
Yeah. Though. My oldest sibling is 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm
you
six.
Get it. Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
As far as I know, he wants to retire. My oldest brother.
Isn't that crazy?
He's like, I'm done. And I was like, are you? Wait, I'm just, all right, let's do this. I should probably plan for that. If that coming? Because we're related. Right.
No,
so
yeah.
So everybody's older. Yeah.
Yes. But I feel like, you know, my dad owned a bar in Philadelphia, and which is part of why I love dive bars too. I did not tell you this, but I, my boyfriend and I, we have like a thing for, I mean, it's not just about the drinking. It's about the vibe because my dad had this bar in Philadelphia that was in,
from when you were little?
Yeah. Actually, my grandfather started it in the 30s.
Okay.
So, and my dad took it over in the 50s and
has he retired your dad?
Yes.
So he doesn't have it anymore?
Yes. He sold it in 98.
And none of your siblings?
One of my brothers one brother bought a bar and then my dad worked for him up until 3 years ago. My brother sort of got hit with a recession. They had sort of the neighborhood is kind of got a funky. Anyway, he sold it 3 years ago. And so my dad finally retired at 87. finally.
Slow down.
I know. So, yeah. But he was actually great behind the bar. Like literally.
Oh, I'm
I remember
sure.
Craig Robinson came to visit at my brother's bar and we were sitting there, my dad, and Craig was just totally getting everything. Yeah, my dad's psyched. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Because his stage is the bar.
Yeah.
And you get timing, you get in, you get out, you get your exits, your entrances. And literally these two women walk in and one was good looking and one wasn't. And my dad says, ladies, there's a seat over there. And he looks at us and like I said, one was good looking and one wasn't. Two ladies. And my dad looks at us and he goes, you win some, you lose some.
God. Dang it. I mean, dads are the craziest people on the... I just talked to mine today, and he's doing occupational therapy. He had a big bypass. He's a big hospital guy, and turns out he lived. It's all working out.
Yay.
And it's fine. And he was just talking. He said, yeah, they came to do occupational therapy today. I think I just told you this. It was, and he was so funny.
Again.
Yeah, he was, but the occupational therapy was, there was a piece of wood, and there were a bunch of screws sticking out of it, and he had to do bolts on the screws and then unscrew the screws. And the first time they gave it to him, he said, are you preparing me for a factory job I do not want? And the woman, he said that the nurse goes, no, we're preparing you to put your pants on by yourself. And he was like, fair point. And then today the occupational lady came and he said, no, we're not doing it. We've been doing this for 3 weeks. You guys still haven't found me a job. And I laughed against my will because that is the dumbest joke in the world. It's awesome.
But it's fantastic.
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
So Billy Wilder, did you ever watch any of those? Because he was supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, I love Double Indemnity is one of my favorites. But I also feel like, you know, there's some more obscure. I'm trying to think is more obscure. But I mean, I love Some Like It Hot. It's ridiculous.
That's an amazing movie.
It is.
It shouldn't be,
but it is on paper. It sounds completely lame. Drag? What?
Right? Mrs. Doubtfire?
Cary Grant?
And Tootsie?
What's going to happen? Cary Grant? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Right.
It's nuts, but it
Tony
totally
Curtis.
Works. Yeah.
I love Tony Curtis as a child. Used to get him, Cary Grant, and Rock Hudson, all three of them mixed up.
I could see
that.
But
I was nine.
Right.
And dark hair, handsome. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Agile.
Attractive. Right.
Yes. New York, slight New York.
Smooth.
Noirs. Yeah.
And Tony Curtis played, I remember when I was a kid, I saw him, he played like the princess. It was an Arabian prince that he was playing that he had been taken as an orphan and he was actually the prince and it was this harem-y kind of, it was just such crap. It looked like Elvis. Harem,
oh,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Oh, right.
I don't think it was called that, but I mean,
harem's
it looked
harem.
Harem's
like
harem.
Yeah.
Which it looked like the Tony Curtis version of that, so no singing.
That is hilarious. And of course, I remember him from the Flintstones, Stoney Curtis. They were up all night
That's
making
right.
that transition.
How are we gonna make it into a Stone Age name?
That's a good job. Right?
I saw Stoney Curtis one time over at the Bob's Big Boy. ate lunch right next to him. Tony Curtis at the Bob's Big Boy.
Was it 420?
It was
post 420. He was Stoney Curtis.
He was he might have been. He was still hitting on the ladies.
Oh,
that guy was working it.
It's funny because he looked gayer and gayer.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't get it.
God rest his soul. But if he was secretly gay, I hope he was getting it from all sides, as the kids never say. Boom. And so you like, now, but here's the thing on eBay. You bought an entire set of Shirley Temple.
Actually, on Amazon.
Oh, it was on Amazon.
It was on Amazon.
Oh, like a Christian. Like a person.
I got them from like 75 people. I didn't get them from one person. One person did not have a whole set. I really went out of my way and spent like $1.19 on every VHS. This was like probably like 15 years ago. And so I have every Shirley Temple movie because I grew up with them and then they weren't on TV. Now, the Fox Movie Channel has been showing a few, like maybe four. Inadvertently.
I have like three ones that I remember. I don't remember.
Like Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, they're showing.
Never saw that one.
No, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a Bilbo Jangles one. It's a good one. and also The Tin Man, Jack Haley's in it.
Oh, okay.
Which you gotta love, you know.
Okay, so Shirley Temple in Anne of Green Gables. What is it?
Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farms.
Anne of Green Gables.
Please don't get her for so much dramatic credit. No, there was no dance number in Anne of Green Gables with Colleen Dewhurst.
Right. Oh, fair enough.
That one.
Nice pull. Well done. See, I have little or no information, but I have a lot of information down weird rabbit holes that are adjacent to other rabbit holes that other people have access to.
I'm trying to find the rabbit hole, girl. I'm trying to find it.
No, you're doing vital work here. So I like The Littlest General or some darn thing. I think that was
The Little Colonel.
The Little Colonel. What was the Civil War one that was monumentally inappropriate?
The Littlest Rebel.
The Littlest Rebel.
Yes, I think she was in blackface in that. Yes.
At one point, she was indeed in blackface.
But so many people were. Like, even the little rascals, like Spanky was in blackface.
Yeah.
Pretending to be Buckwheat.
Oh, right, right. I do remember early. That.
I actually have to say, I love like all those Hal Roach, you know, comedy too. But I feel like I have, the show Temple was more of a guilty pleasure because of the drama factor.
Oh, there was always somebody trying to steal her and take her away.
Yeah, like in Heidi, like grandfather, you know. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like
an episode of Flipper, where they're always trying to steal Flipper. Anyway, but poor Flipper, he's just trying to live. He's happy in the sea. But Shirley Temple, I liked the dancing. My favorite Shirley Temple is the Bob Hope one, where they were at the racetrack.
Oh my God.
Because that reminded me of my dad.
Bob Hope.
Little Miss Marker.
Wait, they never showed that one in Philadelphia. So I've seen it once years ago, but I don't own it. For whatever reason, I didn't seek that one out.
You could get that on DVD.
I'm sure I could.
That's real fun. Because I loved Bob Hope when I was a kid.
Right.
Yeah, because he was so funny. And then you'd watch him on those specials and go, when did he turn into a horrible old man?
Oh, my God. My boyfriend works for NBC. He's been there for like 28 years. He's a photographer. And he used to have to work with Bob Hope on those specials.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just since like 80, I think since 86 or something. And, you know, I mean, those were some of his finest awful years.
Right. Some of the worst.
Propped up. Yeah.
Propped up where you're just like, and he's just leering at some 32-year-old. And you're like, at least she's 32.
Oh, my God. Or with Brooke Shields for no apparent reason.
And she's 16 at the time. Oh, my God. That was inappropriate.
Okay, I think it was in the 90s, like the mid-90s, he did a special where he had Phyllis Diller as a sidekick because felt like he couldn't quite get through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So she was sort of like the head. Mm-hmm. And I remember my favorite line from that special was, she said, I've been doing stand-up so long, I should be wearing buckskin.
Oh, it's like my Hester Prynne joke, which is I opened for Hester Prynne. It's the same premise. Yeah. And then I do a Hester Prynne joke. Come on.
I don't know who Hester Prynne is.
Oh, Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter.
Oh.
Yeah. She wore The Scarlet Letter.
Oh.
I hated that book in junior high.
Oh, yeah.
I kept thinking to myself, move. Not realizing it was the 1600s, and which what I'm actually saying is, die of exposure.
Oh, Jesus.
Get out of that town.
Right?
Yeah.
Honest to God. And come back in another life and enjoy yourself. Pay your dues and move on.
Exactly.
Yikes. And, no suffering, please.
Right. Well, I think, I have this to say about Bob Hope, is that when I used to drink at a place on Lancashire over near, in between Moore Park and Ventura, called the Steak Joint with a Y.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been in there, huh?
Well, they closed a couple of years ago, but right across the street from there, there's a giant Catholic church.
Oh, yes. I know. I know.
You know the giant Catholic church?
I think so.
And then there's an auditorium. Yeah, it's right by Moore Park.
Yes, my boyfriend and I photographed it. Yeah.
And then there's an auditorium, and then there's a basketball court, and then there's a couple of parking lots, and then there's a nice theater. That, I was told by a career drunk sitting next to me at the Steak Joint.
He gets a paycheck? I love it.
So let's...
I'm in on that job.
Exactly. So let's take it with a grain of salt, but it's the greatest story in the world. Bob Hope's wife, Catholic. Bob Hope raised Anglican.
Yes.
Yeah. And every time he would have an affair, they had a deal. He had to donate to that Catholic church.
Wow.
So that Catholic church, supposedly, according to the career drunk, is the church that Bob Hope's infidelity built.
Wow.
It is the largest church.
No wonder he's friends with Bing Crosby.
Yeah. Wow. So big.
Wow.
So, and did you see across the street, there's so much property attached.
That's really a trip. I've got to slow down next time I go by it.
Do a drive-by.
Check it out.
And it's always open. The guy also told me because it's connected briefly with a mob.
Wow.
So nobody would ever steal.
That's a lot going on with that church.
That
Holy
church,
crap. That's
busy
exhausting.
Church. Yeah, but you can always pray in there. Because unlike most churches, the door's never locked.
Oh, they
keep it open like business hours kind of thing.
That's good to know.
It's kind of nice, though, if you ever need to go confess or something.
Because showbiz is very anxiety-ridden, and occasionally I do like a quiet place to go.
You like to check in?
Yeah, I'm a recovering Catholic, but I
go look at it?
Yeah, no, but I still appreciate it. Like, I'm hoping this new Pope... I actually follow the new Pope on Twitter, and I and I will say, if you haven't checked him out on Twitter... The responses are brutal. He cannot read his own Twitter feed or else he would never get out of bed. Can I curse on this?
Yeah. Okay.
Literally every time he'll say something like, you know, love is the answer. And someone will write, suck my balls. I mean, that's one of the nicer ones. But it's like, and so every once in a while, it just strikes my sense of humor because I just imagine him, this, you know, Pope Frank, the one that's got it right. He's finally getting it right.
Right.
You know?
He seems to actually be familiar with the works of Jesus Christ.
Honest to God, right? Right. And being of service.
Right.
And
being like the nice man in the picture.
Helping the poor. Yeah, which is kind of like what I thought it was all about back in the day.
Right. That was alluded when I was a child at church, was we were all supposed to be decent humans.
Yes, and, before politics got involved.
Yeah, and then, which it always does, but even in passing, there used to be more lip service, I feel.
Yes.
Anyway, just a little more. We're behind the scenes. We're going to have a Da Vinci Code, but in front of us, we're going to actually hand out a sandwich or two.
It's all going to. Right. Yeah. So suck my balls. So he's handing out sandwiches, and they still want him to suck their balls. All right.
Do you follow the tweet of God?
I do. Yeah, that guy's
That guy's very funny.
Brilliant.
Is super fun.
He is great. And, I worked with him once on Emmy thing because he wrote
comedy
a lot of
writer.
Music.
Yes. Yeah, very funny guy. And
great.
There's a book.
Dave Jabber. Was it
Dave or Dan?
Dave. No, I thought it was Dave. Dave Jabber.
I think you're right.
I think yeah.
Yep. Look up his book.
Yeah, it's a brilliant book. Yes.
Yeah. So, but he's. I followed him, and then he direct tweeted at me. He direct messaged me, but I couldn't direct message him back. And so I...
Because he's God?
Because he's God. That's what he said. He said, "Your God can't just follow people. It really defeats the purpose."
Well, I only follow 69 people for my own sick, lame joke. It's lame. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. Sometimes people notice. Sometimes they don't. I don't care.
You don't care. I ended up following... I did this thing where I think I read an article... And let me quote it again. Maria Bamford's doing a great joke where the punchline is, "We all know how powerful articles are." So I'm reading this article, and it says that you should follow the people that think might be fans of yours. So I spent a month following the fuck out of every Nerdist, every Felicia Day, every, like, I don't know, Weird Al. I don't know what I did, but I didn't have a bot. I just click.
Wow.
And then I would check, is anybody following me back? And then I would unfollow if they did not. And then, so guess what that was? A full-time job. So I stopped doing that. And now I just, I don't know. I follow some people and I don't follow other people.
Yeah, I go in and out.
I'm at like 1,100. That seems a lot of people to try to follow. And
yeah, that is
nonsense.
A lot. That's a lot. 69 is much more manageable. And right. I sometimes, you know, I like, obviously for 69, like sometimes like, okay, you're out. Okay, you're in, you're out. You know, I sort of right. have to rotate otherwise. Because
then you lose your number. Then you lose your funny number joke.
Right. Well, right. But also like I got to keep it, you know, I don't know. I got to
keep
it fresh.
It manageable.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's nuts. So what is your favorite Shirley Temple movie? Or give
do
me
I
three.
Have to pick one, Jackie?
You can pick three, and then we can tell what the plots are.
Well, I know. Poor Little Rich Girl is one of the best because it's way too many. She
really?
Literally has. It's one of the best because she's a little girl whose father owns a soap company. She goes to school. Her nanny gets killed at the train station. She doesn't know it, and so she ends up following an organ grinder who then. Lets her sleep with his Italian kids.
What?
While his wife makes her spaghetti. And then the vaudeville couple upstairs is tap dancing and she hears them tap dancing. So she taps and responds. And next thing you know, she's in their act.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
Like, and then the trio, the Dolan trio, Dolan, with her.
Are they the tap dancing people?
They're the tap dancing people. Okay. And now she's one of them. And they get hired by the soap company that's opposite her father's.
Oh, for the Christmas party.
Yeah.
right. It's a corporate.
It is. And I think Gloria Stewart is in that. She was in the Titanic as an old lady.
Oh,
and
right.
She's in several of the, she's also in Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farms. So there is some, I was going to say for the kids, but everyone's too old for the Titanic.
Titanic
too.
Is 20 years old,
yeah,
I think,
it.
Or something
I'm
like that.
I'm 75 years old and I didn't realize it.
It's nice. I'm 107. It's all working out. But so that's a good one. Poor Little Rich
Girl. That's a good one.
What's another good one?
Bright Eyes is good too. Her father had already died. She actually had a living mother, which never happens. And then her mother gets killed carrying a cake with her birthday cake at Christmas
killing.
Day. Yes. And then she tries to get adopted by an aviator fella who was a friend of her father's.
Okay.
But the horrible family she's living with that her mother was a maid to decides that it would look bad if they turned the kid out on the street. So they let her live there, but they treat her like crap. And Jane Withers was a little kid, and she's a little bit older, and she treats her like shit the whole movie. She's like, "Let's play hospital. I want to operate on your doll." And then it's like Christmas morning, and Jane Withers is like, "I wanted a wheelchair. Little girls don't get what. I want a wheelchair. Oh, I mean, it's it's like off the charts again. Yeah,
bright eyes.
Yeah. And that thing, that's actually pre-code, even though it's not really. But there's some things on it that are kind of like little kids usually don't get away with.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Her having a fit over wanting a wheelchair.
Right, and she wanted
and her mother smacks the shit out of her right in front of her, like right across the face.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I think that's the end of the movie.
Do you think Cornelius in Planet of the Apes had seen that movie, and that's why he called Charlton Heston Bright Eyes?
I'd like to think so. I would like to think so.
Right. So, wow. So there's hitting. There's a lot more hitting in the old movies, too.
Yes.
There's hitting, and there's like, one of my favorite movies is, I watch it every Christmas, even though there's blackface in it, and it's Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you take the blackface out, it always feels like something horrible. It feels like you're protecting me from something I don't want to be protected from. It's like 12 Years a Slave. I didn't see it because I knew what was going to happen.
Right.
Someone was going to be a slave for 12 years. I get it. Right. It's going to suck. It's not that I don't want to know the history. It's not, I know the history of slavery. I have the information. I try to treat every single black person I meet as a human being. That's one of my go-tos. I like to meet people as people. And then after that,
that's a dangerous.
No, oh, no. What's going to happen? And even if it's an asshole 18-year-old, I go, oh, it's an asshole 18-year-old. I don't think, oh, it's an asshole 18-year-old who happens to be black. I go, oh, it's just some self-absorbed little shit is what I tend to think first. And then I go. But I think it just, I mean, because that's the history that we're missing.
That existed. I mean, people did that. The minstrel show existed.
Feels whitewashy is what it feels.
Yeah, it's sort of like when they take those channels on Clear Channel that they play that funky music and they actually take the word white boy out. They take the word white out of white boy. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. There's a science fiction series called that Cage Baker wrote, the Company series.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing. And it's about how as it goes into the future they start like not like the colorization kind of situation.
Oh, yeah.
But they replace things. Like in E.T. when they replace the guns with walkie-talkies.
Oh, God. Weird.
It becomes all that. Like, they take out all the smoking.
Oh, right.
In all the movies.
Weird.
All the drinking. They take out all... And then it just gets ridiculous. Like, they take out all... chocolate becomes outlawed.
Oh, dear God.
And it just goes
for
into
the
this...
obese children who are craving it while watching. Oh,
exactly.
My God.
And so it just... And it goes into this future that you're like... Oh shit, that feels palpable. That feels possible. Wow. And I don't want any part of it. And that's what the Holiday Inn thing feels like.
Yes. I'm
not
with
saying
you.
It's not rude to have blackface. So let's not do it. But it was in this movie. So
right.
Let's
and they're celebrating Lincoln's birthday. They were just trying to make a point. Really,
exactly.
That's the number. That's
that
hilarious.
Is the number that is completely
it
hilarious.
Is completely insane. What better way to celebrate Lincoln's birthday than in blackface? What?
Right. We're all celebrating. I don't know why, but I need to take this microphone
out. Are we done? Are you kicking
weirdly
me out?
Enough, my ass.
I will tell you, I've had
up.
Weird things where I've watched old movies and like there's a lot of giant prop pictures in old movies because they'll be talking about someone and you'll see this unnaturally large frame on someone's desk referring to the person that they're talking to, or they'll stare at the person. You know, just occasionally they'll have that.
I am going to notice
now. In the original Farewell to Arms with Helen Hayes and Gary Cooper. And it's weird because sometimes I see that now and it looks like a laptop. And I'm like, that can't be a laptop. Like my mind goes to another place.
Right. It's
or
like
there'll be a weird mirror and it looks like a flat screen. And you're like, wait a second. No.
That's so.
And my mind is playing tricks on myself. Yes.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. It's very strange. And like, I know this woman had a compact and I thought it was a cell phone. I'm like, wait a second. You know,
right.
Obviously a shitty flip phone. So it's not like an Apple phone. She's still low
nothing
tech
new.
Even back then. Yeah.
Nothing new. The crazy thing is, you know how like all the decorations, I remember watching those old movies and thinking to be fabulously wealthy. You need a giant sweeping staircase.
Absolutely.
And then you're going to need, later I would think, I remember my stepmother telling me, she's like, yeah, those giant vaulted ceilings are great, but you need a 20-foot tall painting to go there.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Who's going to dust that? She's like, I know if you could afford that building, you could afford someone to dust it. But I think, who's going to dust it? That's what I think. And but I was thinking, would there be any picture that I would want that big?
Right.
Would it be that of a Dalmatian? Because oftentimes it was like, it was the only thing they had. Like they would stick like a giant hunting scene behind them.
It's true. What, you know, and the, you know, as we, you know, that early, you know, 60s TV where they would shoot at that, that there's that street that they used for like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. And they were always driving by the Hazel. It's like the same house that you just see it over. And as a kid, I became like so excited that I noticed.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute. If I'm a kid and I'm noticing, this is fucked up.
Right.
Get your shit together.
Get your shit together. Find a different block.
Right.
Yeah.
You have this whole fake neighborhood. Make it happen. Right.
Right. Right. And like I, that if you go on the Universal lot tour, yes, which is kind of the best ride they've got up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
It's Wisteria Lane.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, these are the same nine buildings. These are the...
And- right, but it was like Marcus Welby's house, and there's like a house from Animal House, and one of the houses, it kind of got refurbished, but it was the Munsters' house.
Right.
I've been on that tour. Yeah.
Right, I've been, yeah. And it's...
And you go, wait a minute, this is... But then you, then they explain, oh, no, well, they put the... You know, it's just...
I'll tell you, I wasn't that bright as a child. I remember thinking to myself, I wish we had that house.
I know, no, absolutely.
And why wouldn't you think that when everybody on television had the same house? You
right.
at least noticed that they all had the same house. And you're like, their houses don't seem to have yelling in it. I wish we lived there.
Well, Bewitched had a lot of drinking, which was very familiar to me.
Some serious.
Come
there was a
on.
Cart. There was a.
Come
I, on. I bought a cart because I was like,
nice.
We could have cocktails on that cart.
I have, I'll show the, it I have the globe. I have the globe bar, the hidden. Yes,
oh, do
it
you?
Actually turns. Yes. Yeah,
that is neat.
Yeah, it's kind of fantastic. It's a little heart to heart, but it's good. You know.
Oh
what
yeah.
I mean?
Well, when, you know when they met
a little bit.
It was murder.
It was murder. Let's have a drink. A drink to murder.
A drink to murder. So now the other thing that you enjoy is Benny Goodman. Let's just talk
I
about
do.
Let's transition.
I have. I like.
It's the same era.
It
almost.
Is. It is. Well, I'll tell you. Growing up, being. Having being one of seven kids, there was not like we didn't have a shit pile of toys every birthday. I
no.
mean, you know what I mean? You know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I enjoy and because my parents were older. I found the 78s in the basement.
Okay.
Also, my dad's bar. He the jukebox got broken into too many times, and he gave up on the jukebox. So we had all the 45s in there. They were all from the 60s.
Okay.
So we had like some original Beach Boys, few Beatles, a lot of Bing Crosby, a lot of like holiday,
a lot of 45s and 78s.
Yeah.
Lots, okay.
Yes. And the 78s, I kind of became obsessed with, and I was obsessed with Woody Herman. There was a song called Big Wig in the Wigwam, which was the flip side of Woodchopper's Ball. Woodchopper's Ball was the hit,
right?
Big Wig in the Wigwam should have been the hit. Come on. Like the, literally the words are like, big wig in the wigwam, looking for some pom poms. Boom, 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 boom. Keep on playing, keep on praying. Cause big wigs in the wigwam, looking for, anyway.
And
you're gonna have to pay the rights on this.
No, you don't.
Oh, good.
It's all
thank
good.
God. Thank God.
Thank God. Sing it up. And, so yeah, but it's, I love that. Did you play instruments? Did
I
you
play the piano?
You played,
but I did not. But I just love the whole big band sound. I felt like there was something. And as I get older, I felt like I went away from. I was like, too pedestrian. And then as I'm getting older, I'm realizing, oh no. There was some subtleties, and I feel like Benny Goodman. I've just been listening to some vinyl again, and I realized I was listening to Benny Goodman when I graduated from college. When I was like trying to figure out, I went through like this transitional time where I was like, what? Where's the move?
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of the Arts in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So I was auditioning. I wanted to be an actor, but I felt like I couldn't quite figure out where I was at first, and I was trying to stay in Philadelphia.
Okay.
That was a big whatever. It just wasn't happening.
Philadelphia is very beautiful. It's a fancy Milwaukee, is what I think of it as.
It is, with easy access to New York, D.C.
Yeah, right there,
for the shore.
Yeah.
If you want to gamble, but yeah. So I felt like I remember thinking like something about Benny Goodman. I was like very good. It reminded me of the transition I went through after college. So I feel like I've been listening since The Office is over.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Benny Goodman again.
Right, in, right. Because you're like, let there be another
yes. What's
long-term
next?
Project instead yes. of a series of small-term.
Yeah.
Because
we'll
you're
see,
working.
Yeah.
You're,
there's
plenty of work. But
absolutely.
But that
yeah.
regular paycheck must have been sweet.
Well, and also like the car drives there. The car drives itself to where you go.
Oh,
I had to be there pretty much every day. Because I had a
structure.
Fake desk. Yeah, it was fantastic. I always had a place to sit. My computer worked. I pretty much knew, you know, kind of the you know, you knew the deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was really the greatest job in show business.
That's
come on.
Awesome.
We were never standing on one foot. Come on. Right.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That's... I was like, it was really fantastic. And always, and even if I didn't speak for days, I would laugh my ass off because what was happening
was
funny. Because
it was hilarious.
Funny.
Yeah.
And really
was...
smart. And,
yeah.
You know, and never like, oh, get me. I never felt like get me out of here. That was never, it was never on the menu.
No?
Yeah. No. I
so,
really wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Congratulations. Frank Conniff used to do the greatest joke about writing on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, because he would say that he wrote on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and people would go, oh. And then he would, he'd be like, the only defense he had was, people like it.
And two words, Paul Feig. Paul Feig was on that show.
Right. I love
Come
Paul
on,
Feig.
I love Paul Feig the greatest.
Oh, I don't know Paul Feig. If you know Paul Feig,
well,
allow
he worked
me.
In the office a lot. Because he
Do
was...
you realize my favorite movie last year was The Heat?
Come on, Paul Feig.
Paul Feig.
Come on, I
yeah.
know.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow Paul Feig on
yes,
Twitter. I don't
should.
Know where
he's
he is.
Great.
I'm
he
sure he's hilarious.
Wears a suit. The end of every episode, he would direct all the crew. The last day, they would all wear a tie because he always had the most. He still wears the most amazing suits. He's a style king.
Interesting.
Way.
Does he go to Hong Kong? He could,
I don't
maybe
know.
He could
I
be
wonder.
On about suits. He could be a suit dork. The only other accessory dork I had on was Paul F. Tompkins.
Oh, my God. Paul, yeah. also another fellow Philadelphian
Dan.
He is. Yes.
Oh, yeah, fellow
he's
Philly.
He's lost in time. Yes, he's lost.
He is lost in time.
He is, God
That guy
him.
Can carry off a hat.
And a mustache. He was a little ahead of the mustache curve.
He
right?
was. He was.
And the
because,
vest and watch the...
Oh, yeah. Way early on the suit. Came into the mustache right at the height of the beard.
Yes.
And
yes.
he was like, no.
How
no.
dare you?
Yes.
His formality.
We will be doing a mustache. And it will be dapper. And it will be, and then he'll have a little comb, no doubt. Anyway,
no
so
doubt.
Benny Goodman, funniest thing, I played the clarinet.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you like him or were you like, eh?
I liked oh, Benny Goodman okay. a great yeah. deal. I always yeah. wanted to play like him because he would hold it straight up.
Yeah.
And my orchestra, my band director in junior high and grade school was like, and when you could play as good as Benny Goodman, then you can hold it like Benny Goodman. Until then, hold it normal and practice. And then I never did. So, Aww. But I love listening. The clarinet is a beautiful instrument.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love the yeah. cello. Those are my,
yes,
well, the
mine
French
too.
Horn.
Yeah. yeah. Cello and clarinet. There's something that there's a song called Goodbye. That Benny Goodman does. And
Goodbye.
Do you know that song?
I don't.
It's amazing, and the way it's a beautiful. It's yeah. It's,
yeah.
It he really should have been had some Rachmaninoff status, but
right.
Just,
but
know,
for
but
some reason,
it too much. It's a kid's a jukebox thing. They
you know, Beiderbecke, Bix Beiderbecke. He was a saxophone player. And I went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I went because I wanted to be in the marching band. And I was, my brother got me a job instead. And he's like, you want to make money, you want to lose money? And I was like, how am I losing money being in the band? And he's like, by not making money. And I was like, oh, Christ, I guess I'll make
and
money.
And freezing your ass off
yeah,
in Madison.
Outside selling bullshit t-shirts, seconds and irregulars.
Oh, dear God.
Outside the football. Never went to a game. Never went to a Badger game. The band inside, but I recently got the band. Mike LaCrone is the band director and has been the band director. He's got to be 87
oh
years
God.
Old, thinking about retiring any
yeah.
minute now. I got him to sign my hat.
Because
my friend was going to a benefit where he was going to be there. And I said, I bought this band hat today. Can you mail it to me? And he was totally on board. He totally mailed me. So Mike LaCrone, I took one because I didn't get to be in the band. I met him when I auditioned, and I don't know that I would have made the marching band because I had missed the last two auditions, so that's why I didn't get in. I'd like to think that I would have made the marching band, but I wasn't great. What I was enthusiastic, which counts for a lot in a marching band.
Absolutely. I filled in for marching band once when I was a senior in high school. No, junior in high school. And they changed the uniform, so I actually kept the uniform. I just was the,
really?
I was marking time. I was holding the flag in the front.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, and so yeah, at my high
it's,
school,
right?
And we played at a mall, the Exton Mall. It was ridiculous. The sound was bouncing up, and our school.
Oh my God!
It was a girls' school, boys' school mixed together, and they were playing, of course, because it was Philadelphia,
echoey.
And it was 1981. It was the theme to Rocky, which and we said they sounded like a bunch of dying chickens. I was like, anyway, sorry, so bad.
Oh yeah, the theme to Rocky, that was a huge hit
yeah, right?
for marching bands
Come
in 81.
On, right?
Who doesn't Yeah, that is bullshit. I will tell you this though, is that but he taught a class on Bix Beiderbecke, who was his favorite big
I've
band.
Heard of Bix, but I can't I don't
It
yeah.
was his favorite big band guy, and I believe he plays the saxophone. And so you should look into that because you
I
might
will.
Enjoy
it. Well, I wonder, you know, sometimes the satellite radio, the Sirius XM, they play They might play some Big Spider Bike. I've got to check it out. Because there's another station that plays radio classics, like old radio shows, which, you know, obviously growing up, we never had access to.
Right.
So I'm kind of obsessed with the sort of origin of some of the TV shows that they became. Because Lucille Ball had her own show, but it was called My Favorite Husband, but it became I Love Lucy.
Oh, really?
And it was not with Desi, but she was sort of like developing this character.
Okay, so it was like a radio play.
Yes, but it was funny, you know. But it was still, you know,
it was pre Desi.
Yes, pre Desi, and I think she was still with him. But I think she had already married him. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was with him, but she was not part of this. And then there's another one with like Phil Harris, who was kind of a sidekick on the Jack Benny show, and then he married Alice Faye, and then they got their own show. And by the way, Alice Faye was in the Shirley Temple movie, Poor Little Rich Girl. She was one of the vaudeville three with the
Dolans. One of the Dolans?
One of the Dolans.
Excellent.
So crazy. But their radio show is really funny. The writing is not quite as good as Jack Benny, but it's kind of fantastic.
Well, you know, we don't have cable. I have those rabbit ears. And but there's a station called Cozy.
C-O-Z-I. Oh, sure. Yeah.
I think you get it with cable.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Think it comes. There's Cozy. Ion.
There's Antenna. There's Antenna.
Right. There's TV.
Me TV.
Yes. Get. Yes.
And I'm obsessed.
Jack Benny plays.
Oh, yes.
And and it's interesting watching all those old TV shows because some of them hold up, some of them don't. Right. And Jack Benny, hit and miss for me.
Yes.
Unfortunate.
Yes. No, absolutely. His radio show was more consistent.
Oh, interesting.
By far. Yeah.
Okay.
And I understand. It was the first time most of the jokes were told. Because by the time he got to the TV show, I was like, come on, are you kidding? We've seen this a bazillion times.
Right, because they repurposed those scripts,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He obviously lacked, he was not concerned. He was a very secure person because he always had a lot of really funny people on with him, Jack Benny.
Yes.
Like a huge ensemble.
Excellent ensemble
really
of cast.
Really funny people. Yeah.
Which is amazing. Because when those guys, and Jack Benny, and from what I've heard, was a really giving performer.
Do you think he was gay?
Oh, gay?
Is it the closet?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just saying. Yeah, he had some gay. Anyway, just
I never slept with him. But I'll tell you that. And what that does is that narrows it down. No, because the 80s, I was busy, you guys. Every couple of years, I get laid. Anyway, so I've been working on this joke about how, because I went to the I never do this. This is a bit that
you never go to the gynecologist?
I never go to the I go once a year, whether I need to or not. Anyway, but I go in, I call it the big peak, and I go there, but I never talk about my stand-up, so come and see me live, folks, because this joke may be done. Anyway, but here's how it is now. Because this is the true story. I go to the gynecologist, I come home, and I tell Andy, my husband, the gynecologist told me I have the vagina of a 30-year-old. And he goes, I am the rejuvenator! And which made me laugh, right? It was all very funny. But then I was thinking, what would your vagina be like if it was the vagina of a 30-year-old? And I was like, well, any 30-year-old, it's different than you as a 30-year-old. Because me as the 30-year-old, it would have cobwebs in it and possibly some ribbon candy, a doily. I could rent it out as an event space.
Because there's just a from
disuse.
Were you
a late bloomer?
You a late bloomer?
Bit of a late bloomer.
That's okay. You're some late bloomers.
That's okay.
I don't mind that.
That's good. Yeah.
Blink
right. Our coffee.
Yeah. Oh, what the hell? Mm-hmm.
I gave you the Tempest.
You did.
I gave you the Tempest mug.
You did. And the dishwasher has not knocked off the words on this glass.
We don't have a dishwasher. I am
good.
Live in a 1951. We live in a house that belongs on a Monopoly board. We have a little ticky-tacky house that is very beautiful. I'll show you the garden afterwards. We're at war. So we have a victory garden.
Love it.
And so.
We all should, really. We really should.
I got cucumbers. You need one. I don't know if you enjoy
I have a boyfriend, but thank you so much.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Boom. Ladies and gentlemen, Kate Flannery works blue sometimes. Sometimes she'll go a little blue. That was a dick joke. So wartime movies, what are those?
Oh my God. Well, I love Mrs. Miniva. Love. One of my favorites.
Oh.
And I love the house, too. I sort of get obsessed with all the things. But, you know, it's Greer Garson. She could do no wrong. Even, like, in her worst, like, her attempt at admitting her faults. It's like, really? Are you, you know, kind of a perfect person.
I don't know her. Who is she?
Greer Garson, she was British, and in the movie, she... her husband's out all night on some, you know, wartime raid. They're trying to save the village, the British village that they're from. So all the civilians
Dunkirk or something, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the town, but they're and a German soldier. God,
with a
what'd
shoulder.
You put in this?
Exactly.
With a shoulder. He actually has a shoulder injury because he was shot.
Oh, there you go.
She literally finds him, but he has a gun, and he tries to, you know, he asks for food and he's like, you know, and it's crazy. And then she ends up getting the gun because he's weak from his
shoulder shot. He's wounded.
Yes. And he does not, and she does not tell her husband that she saved, yeah, basically saved the town by getting this guy. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Because she's so humble. She's just, and then, you know.
Is she just so humble?
She's perfect and she's humble and she's so well dressed.
And what movie is this?
Mrs. Miniver.
Mrs. Miniver, which a movie I have heard of, but yes. I've never watched.
It's very, if you realize it, it's very period, and it came out like basically the month that we found out that America found out they were in the war. So it's a British story, but it's like the early times of the war. Like what, it's kind of like, get ready.
So it came out in like 41.
Yeah,
or
actually
42.
Before, I think it was 40 or 41. It was really soon. Yeah, okay, you know, 41, right. It came out in 41. Yeah. Because in Britain had already been in since 39, but it was still like, it was kind of, so it hit home. It hit home. Yeah.
It resonated.
It did.
That's so beautiful. Yes. And then did she have a hell of a career that I don't know about?
She did a lot of movies. Like there's a movie she did called Random Harvest about World War One with,
Keep sticking her in the war.
Oh yeah. She did a ton of movies with Walter Pidgeon. He was in, Mrs. Miniver with her, she played Madame Curie. There's a few historical biopics, as they used to call them, where it took me years to realize like that they always sweeten those stories up. You know, it's like nobody's real story.
Did you see Saving Mrs. Banks?
I did.
Right. So the Sherman Brothers are portrayed in that movie.
Yes.
There is a biopic about the Sherman Brothers, I understand.
Really?
That is not the movie that my brother Russell would like it to be. My brother Russell is much like yourself into old movies. He was the one who told me about the Hays Code. And the biopic that he wants to make about the Sherman Brothers, the older of the Sherman Brothers was in the army during World War II, and he was with the advance guard that freed Auschwitz.
Wow.
He is Jewish. His family is originally from Germany, and he realized in the week that he spent at Auschwitz that that was the town that they were from.
Oh my God.
And so many of the Jews that were in there were his cousins.
Oh my God.
And I guess it PTSD'd him to almost to death.
Jeez.
And so he comes home. He's broken, but him and his brother, for some reason, are going to write happy songs for Disney. And so, but they never are in the same room. They don't get along.
Right.
So they write via teletype or something like that. They write via letters and they write all these songs. And the younger brother, so the Mary Poppins things happen. They both are going to see each other for the first time in 15 years, I guess. This is how my brother wants the movie, The Sherman Brothers. They finally see each other after 15 years. And in this time, the older brother has gotten married and his wife has died. A tragic death, cancer, something along those lines. The younger brother never went to Auschwitz, married, lovely, wife and children. It's all working out. They both get out of the limousines. And the older brother sees the younger brother with his wife, turns around, gets back into the limousine. This actually happened, and they never see each other again until they both die. But that's how Russ wants the movie to end.
Dear God.
I was like, who would watch that movie, Russell? And he goes, I would watch that movie. So you're like, hey, Sad Sack. He has a theory about movies where if there's one good scene in it, that'll be fine. That makes it a good movie. That makes him a guy with a very low bar.
No kidding.
Super low.
I there has to be some other redeem. I mean, I do think that some musicals are so ridiculous. However, if the music is really good, like if it's Cole Porter or if it's Irving Berlin.
Is it Carousel or is it State Fair? The one that's all sad with the ghost. With the guy. I think that's Carousel.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like
Carousel at all.
Screw
Carousel. And poor Judd is dead. Out of that entire movie, please. Just remove Judd from the equation.
Rainn Wilson told me he played Judd in Oklahoma.
Rainn Wilson. Do you know that I, anyway, I'll spare the world that tale. No one needs to. Who?
I'm telling tales out of school. That's Rain's story to tell. I will not. Yes.
Yeah.
You learn a lot about people when you work with them for 9 years. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen.
You hear loose stories. Loose.
I know that one of the Sherman brothers, the one that's alive, is a member of the Magic Castle. And I actually worked with him once a few years, like, 15 years ago, doing some sort of demo singing thing.
Is he the happy one?
He is.
He's a member of the Magic Castle. What doesn't get any happier than that, Jackie?
How could he not be happy?
That's right.
Magicians.
Close up magic. Things appear and disappear. It's nuts.
There is a guy that I've known for quite some time. I saw him last night, and I love up close magic.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's goddamn magical.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Yeah, it is.
Derek Hughes is this young man's name. He's been on the program a couple of years ago, I think. He was on the Dork Forest. Derek Hughes, he's a member of the Magic Castle. He's very successful as a magician. And he is genuinely a great magician and super funny because he started out as a stand-up. And then he went into magic.
There's a few that are really funny. I like to go on Sundays with the kids because it's brunch, and the comics generally have more irony.
Oh, nice.
I mean, the comics. The magicians have more irony.
Comedic. Yeah. Well, and you know, Flappers has an afternoon thing on Sundays.
Oh, nice.
With Mike, what's his face? Michael.
Rappaport.
Yeah, Rappaport.
Yes,
that's it.
He's the greatest. Yeah. He's the greatest.
And that is a super sweet couple of hours if you're.
Yes.
You don't want to go to the Magic Castle.
Well, I've done shows at Brookledge, which is the theater behind the president of the Magic Castle, Irene Larson's house.
Okay.
So the Lampshades have played there many times because it's a little private thing. One time we were playing and literally Siegfried and Roy was in the front row. Of the show. Pee Wee Herman's been there. It's the weirdest group of people ever.
This is the craziest town.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Where all of a sudden you look around and you're like, what's happening?
But sometimes I feel like we've all been in a car accident and I'm just trying to figure it all out. Like, is this just, are we dead? Am I dead? Is this happening?
Have I told the story on the Dork Forest? Because this is the tale that I wasn't going to tell, but now I'm going to tell it because I did a show at Largo with Sarah Silverman, and in the green room, she's like, this is my boyfriend. And I was like, hi, I'm Jackie. And he goes, I'm Michael. And we shake hands and he gets up and he leaves the room. And I was like, how long have you guys been going out? She's like, 6 weeks, 6 months. And I was like, oh, that's so neat. What does he do? And she goes, you don't know who he is? And I was like, no. And I said, what's his last name? And I said, I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know who people are. And he goes, Michael Sheen. And who played Frost in Frost Nixon? A movie, by the way, I genuinely wanted to see, but I never got, because I hate Nixon so much.
God.
And he was so nice to me, too, because I was like, I'm Googling him. And because I didn't recognize his name even.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, only since Masters of Sex do people know his
name.
Right.
Now people know his name.
And 30 Rock, but still, that was still.
And I saw him on 30 Rock. That's the thing I saw him on.
He's so different on 30 Rock.
Yeah, he's a very different character. But every time I meet someone where you're just like, and then you stop talking to them and they go away and you're like, that guy was really nice. And you're like, he plays Dexter.
Yeah, that happened to me with Jared Leto. And I literally had to go back up to him and I said, I'm a douchebag idiot. But this was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, I saw Requiem for a Dream and I lost my mind. I don't know how you did it. I literally was like, I'm calling you out. Yeah. Calling myself out.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is it's fine. And then
he acted like he forgave me, but I haven't heard from him since. Just kidding.
Were you thinking, now this is it. We're friends. And now we're hanging out.
It's show business friends, which really it's an honor and distinction until you fuck it up.
Right. It's all fine. It'll be.
It's like high school over and over and over.
Our lives never seem to come together. Now, is there a place to go see the Lampshades?
We usually play Iowa West the first Saturday of the month. We're playing this. Is this time sensitive?
Yeah, it'll be 2 weeks actually.
Oh,
so
shit. Yeah. Billy Mimes doing our show. Yeah, and Missy Pyle. We don't always have guests, but yeah, it's usually the first Saturday of the month. We also do Dana Gould's show, Dana Gould and Arden Marine's Tinkle Twin show at
Nerd Melt.
We're like the house band.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think September 28th is our next
show. So
Iowa
West, and just go to lampshades.com.
The Lampshades. Yes. And we're playing the Benson Ball, and we're doing, I'm trying to think of
Yeah, Benson Ball's in D.C., and that'll be neat.
Yeah, I think we're playing that Friday, but go to, yeah.
And everybody, go see a Shirley Temple movie. Make it happen.
That's right. Make yourself sick to your stomach if you really have no tolerance for someone who's pushing as hard as she can.
She's trying so hard. You reading anything good? Would you recommend a book? No,
I'm reading a really obscure book called The Power of Now by Neville. Do you know this book?
The Power of Now.
Is it Power of Now? No, that's Eckhart Tolle. What is it called? Shit! God damn it!
Go What's see the called? Power of Now.
No, it's
we're living
not.
In the moment right now.
Neville, what is it? The Power of.
It's powerful and it's got Neville.
It's old. It was written in the.
Is it self-helpy?
It is a little self-helpy, but it's
from the 30s.
It's from the 30s. But you know, I also have this other book.
I love wisdom from the 30s.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of comes
back. It's the same.
It is, and sometimes there's weird italics that they don't do anymore. It's weird. It's almost. Oh, like someone was editing, and they were English rules that someone was following.
Yes, yes, something. Okay. Yeah, neat. Or it's almost it's almost like it's, I don't want to say it's an apology, but it's like there's something where I guess it's a little, it's some form of mysticism. I feel like there's something in the wisdom of it.
Okay.
But it's sort of about, but it's not religious.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Right. So it's just some sort of hippie religion.
Yes.
But pre-hippie.
Right. But it's pre-hippie. So they used to use this italics for like the, another way, like
paranormal. They
would say like, the word like certain, like in a certain way, and certain way would be like italics. It was like in a different font.
Right.
Certain way. I'm right, like, right. What? And at first, when you're first reading this, like, what the hell is this?
What
like,
does that
what
mean?
Is happening?
They had to go find different letters this and put them in the machine.
Is this refer to something like anal sex? What's happening? This is what they called the certain way. No, I don't know what. But...
Right, right.
But you do, there is a sense of interpretation. Yeah. And then, like, a sort of, but then there's a sort of, yeah, it's a very weird.
Is it helping?
Yeah. Everything's helping, yes. I will say, I feel like, not to over-dramatize, because I know it's the biggest fucking champagne problem in the world, but having had a show, because I was waiting tables when I got the office,
right.
When it ended, I sort of felt like, well, that was it.
All right.
We had nine great years, and now...
And now you're done.
Now you're done, and now you...
They
you
might as well stick a fork.
Yes. Yeah. Crawl back into your little shell,
you
my
should
dear.
Start Star Wagons, or some sort of, you know, that, like,
right,
Lyle
like
Wagoner.
Lyle Wagoner.
Yeah, he started that's Star Wagons.
With all the trailers, that's right. Hilarious. It's there is a sort of, like, move to the valley and just be the person that might get recognized and might not. But there is right. sort of, like, this balance of, like, oh, we love you. Oh, you're a piece of shit. Oh, we love you. You're a piece of shit. There's
right.
always, like, this, which I think happens every time, everywhere in shows, but I feel like the office
at every
was such
level
a
too.
Yeah,
yeah.
The office had a certain bubble that I was like, you know, who cares?
Right,
I'm a
well,
friend,
right, because
you know?
It's because it was drunk. It was so hipstery too, to some extent, because it was so critically acclaimed that there was
right.
a feel to it that we're like, this is something just we're doing. Yeah, it's no, it'll be fine. We're just putting together this show, and you're like, hey, Wes Anderson, the Fantastic Mr. Fox. Was a project. It isn't a laid-back hipster moment that you guys just slapped together over a weekend.
So true. I used to work on Wes Anderson, too, at Kate Mandolini Restaurant.
And it's so
yes.
beautiful, right? I mean,
oh, beautiful.
The things
yeah.
that are being done are beautiful, but there's an edge in this town where you have to pretend like you don't care.
This is true, yes.
Where you just have to go, no, I love to do my work, and I will clearly be on time. But I don't care if I get anything, you know? And you're just
right.
like, no, I care. And but it's a cultivated thing too, because if you try, if you can get that,
yeah,
if you can get there where you don't care if you get it or don't get it,
right,
you have a certain amount of power and you have a certain
yes.
amount of peace,
right. And I think it's the peace that is more important than the power to me, because as an aging woman in Hollywood, it's like, you know,
right.
I don't know how much power there's going to be.
Right. Right. And that, I think, is what really, you know what? That's what attracts everyone
yeah.
to you, is that you have that peace. Is that you have, if you can find that peace of, I get it, I don't get it, the things I got were great. If I get more, I win. If I don't get more, that was still great.
Right. And it doesn't take away. Yeah.
And as in comedy, you'll always perform.
Well, this is true. And I feel like the thing about the lampshades, like I said, it sort of has this weird, you know, we're becoming the thing we're making fun of. Like, we literally did play NASA Safety Day 2 years ago. We literally did play, like, for 600 gay sober men in Palm Springs for an event called Hot and Dry. Well, we didn't know until we got there we were opening for Debbie Gibson. I mean, it just writes itself. It's like, of course you're opening for Debbie
Why
Gibson.
Wouldn't you?
Why not?
Right.
So that's
sort of
like,
what 2014 is like.
I mean, it's just like one of those things where it's like, but I know that, like, some people get super panicked. Panicky and judgy, like, oh, I can't open for Debbie Gibson. That's so
right.
not cool. It's like, no, I'm.
It'll be.
I don't need to be. That is not.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, again,
yeah.
if I'm associated, if I'm cool adjacent, I'm lucky. That's okay. Cool
Amen.
Adjacent is the goal.
Yeah.
Sort of, because it's or not or
right.
you know. I mean, we just played the Tiki Oasis in San Diego. It's literally a hotel full of people. It's an old Hawaiian hotel, it used to be the Honolulu Hotel. Now it's the Crown Plaza, which is so not cool that it's called
no.
the Crown Plaza now.
Yeah.
But it's still a Hawaiian hotel.
Right.
And everyone's dressing up in maxi skirts
right.
and, you know, a theme on theme. So it's tiki, but it's beatnik. So people are like dressed like freaks. And, you know, it's just like, it just pushes. And the whole entire hotel is just room parties with live bands in the rooms. We had to get them. We had ended up moving to the Motel 6 next door because I couldn't sleep. I'm like, I can't take it anymore.
No, there's just too much fun. Yeah, that's so great. There's a hotel outside of Minneapolis that is like the Totem Pole Hotel.
Oh.
And it is Native American themed. And now it is, I believe, a Marriott of some sort. And they've taken all that stuff out, but they've kept a couple of the giant, like they have the glass cases, which have the cool actual museum quality stuff. And then they kept the two giant totem poles just because they're kind of cool. And they're like, we wish we could call it the totem, but we can't. And you can't. You right. just can't. But you can keep the cool museum stuff.
Right.
And then the Lakota and Dakota who stop by are like, we would actually like that back. Could we have that back? No.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Wow. We'll be over here, Marriott. Anyway, but super fun. Kate Flannery, we could talk forever,
I know,
but this
I'm so
was
sorry.
Super fun.
I've
Don't be sorry. This is the best. ladies and gentlemen, follow Kate Flannery online. And if you have work for her, contact both of us. What the hell? We could all use some work. Get out there, see some movies, listen to some music, and take care of each other out there, Rangers. Bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Thank you. Why don't we just call that?